In our continuing series, working with local charities and voluntary groups, the people I'm talking with today, and there are two of them, Jill Berry is a trustee and Nicola Offer is the secretary of the organisation, and they're going to tell us all about a charity called Jumbulance. Now, when I saw that word, I thought, well, it's a jumbo ambulance, but you're going to have to explain it a bit more than that, Jill. What is Jumbulance?
A Jumbulance is indeed a part coach, part ambulance. So it looks like a coach, but inside it's got medical equipment and emergency supplies, a hoist and things like that. So it's suitable for transporting people who have got impairments, life-limiting conditions. People who come on holidays with us, they have got a series of different health issues, but they've got one thing in common. Holidays have been off limits for them. They find going on other types of transport very, very difficult. So we want to give them an equal opportunity, the same chance to be like everyone else, to go on day trips and to go on holidays.
So the Jumbulance itself is a large vehicle which looks like a coach, looks like a big coach. It's been specially adapted on the inside. You're presumably dealing with people with a number of different medical conditions, learning difficulties. How far does the range go?
The range is extremely wide. With the amount of capabilities that we have and the great volunteers that help us, we can take people, young adults, children, and give them a real experience that makes their dreams come true. We work with care homes, special children's schools, dioceses.
When you say you work with, let me just ask you what you mean by that, because what you're saying is that you are providing a facility which these other organisations can use. They can ask for the use of your vehicle.
That's
or vehicles.
That's correct. They can hire the vehicles, go on day trips or holidays, depending on what it is they want to do.
But one instantly thinks of people with some physical limitations, they might be in a wheelchair, but actually you can go further than that, because some people's physical difficulties leave them unable even to be in a wheelchair, and you can cope with that?
Indeed, the Jumbulance coaches are able to take up to 5 stretcher beds and up to 6 wheelchairs or a combination of both. So they're really flexible, depending on what people's medical needs are, we can accommodate them. The Jumbulance itself can take up to 23 passengers, probably with about 10 to 12 being people with the health conditions and the rest being their carers, doctors.
Oh, so it can be used by quite small groups then. You don't have to have 40 or 50 people that want to go out and
opportunity. Not at all. And that's one of the benefits of the holidays. People really get to know each other. They might not have met each other before they go on the trips, but after a couple of days, they're just best friends with everybody. And the feedback that we get from people who've been on the trips is really how much they enjoyed themselves, how much laughter they had, the experiences they have. We've taken kids on adaptive skiing holidays, things they would never get the chance to do ordinarily.
Now we'll come back to the organisation, because obviously to do that you've got to have volunteers with you. When was this started?
The Trust was founded in 2001. The office is based in Harpenden.
So that's, Nicola, that's a national office, your office.
It is, yes.
And what sort of things do you do from the office then?
Oh my gosh, absolutely everything. From taking the bookings to, well, it's all the administration from the office. And I just should point out, some of the groups are actually put together by people. So when Jill said some groups don't know one another, those tend to be the groups that are put together by somebody. Like we have Catherine Salveson, who's a trustee. She puts together a group every year and they go on holiday, and next year they happen to be going to Holland. She puts the feelers out and she spreads the word, and it's about finding people who would otherwise not go on holiday. So either they're elderly or they have a medical condition or all kinds of things. She will put that group together and find her volunteers and find her medical staff.
You mentioned older people then. Do you mean that the Jumbulance will take a group of older people who don't necessarily have anything other than the ageing process, or are you...
They can do. It tends to be more of a mixture, but elderly does tend to then have medical complications. So therefore, yes. I mean, age is almost irrelevant, really.
Let's come back then. 2001, it started. It's a trust. It's based in Harpenden, so it's a local trust. Mm-hmm. But you've presumably got offices or volunteers across the country. How does that work?
We are run very much as a volunteer-led basis. There are 2 part-time staff in the office, of which Nicola is one, and we have 2 full-time drivers. Our drivers are very important in this process. They're not only trained to drive the coaches, but they're really skilled in dealing with people who have special needs. And other than that, we have 12, we call them group leaders, who are throughout the whole of the UK, and they organise the trips and the holidays. They run them from their houses. There's no offices. There's very little administration involved in the trust itself. It's purely volunteers who will do everything. They'll fundraise for the trips. They'll obviously liaise with the office and the bookings. But from Scotland all the way down to Hampshire and the West Country, there's groups who will take people into Europe and into the UK for holidays and day trips. We probably run about 20 holidays a year, and about half of those go to different places in Europe. Firm favourites are Austria for the skiing. They go to Germany, Berlin they've been to, the Netherlands, France, anywhere. Some of the kids like to go to Disneyland Paris. We can take them there. Anywhere that's got a good quality accessible accommodation.
Do you know all the places that they can go to?
We do. The lady that set the charity up, Catherine Salverson, who's the trustee, went and visited all the accessible hotels they could possibly find throughout Europe and found appropriate ones. And so we recommend those hotels to groups around the country.
Are the holidays expensive?
We run them at a non-for-profit basis, so they cost what they cost. When we're not fundraising for new vehicles or increased facilities, we fundraise to subsidise the holidays. We try to run them as cheaply as possible, make them as affordable as possible. And the people who go on the holidays themselves, they fundraise to be able to go. And that includes the volunteers who are acting as carers as well.
So if there was something, let me take a simple example, a school that is helping children with special physical or mental needs, they will try to raise extra money in order to enable a group of their kids to go through you. And you will have additional funds that you've been raising. So in that way, you keep it down to the actual cost of the holidays.
Yes, certain. Definitely.
You used the term when we were talking earlier about equal opportunity. In a way, that's what you're trying to do, isn't it?
Most definitely. We provide the facilities to take people on holiday, but we're also trying to provide the means that enable them to go for the ones who can't afford it themselves. And the more we can let out the vehicles, the more places we can go to, the easier that will become. We're at the moment putting together a new strategy for fundraising, and part of that will be to really minimise the costs for the people. They want to make it as easy as possible, as you say, give them an equal opportunity, same as everyone else, to be able to go on these trips.
The fundraising is done nationally or locally?
Both, I suppose. From the trust office, we will do the national things and be in touch with the charitable trusts on a national basis. And within the local group teams, when they're putting together the group holidays, they'll put together fundraisings for their holidays themselves. Okay.
You must have one big cost called the vehicles, because you've just got a new one.
We have indeed.
You say you raised the cash to buy a new one.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how much it costs.
It was a lot. you're talking hundreds of thousands of pounds as opposed to tens of thousands of pounds. So 2017 was definitely interesting and challenging year for us to be able to raise that amount of money. Everyone in the volunteers in the organisation got involved. We had our drivers, they organised a cycle ride from Land's End to John O'Groats. There was 8 of them. In fact, Nicola was on a sponsored walk. It was a sponsored wheelchair walk in the Lake District, Miles Without Style. So Nicola, you could probably tell us a bit about that. They had really, really bad weather when they were up there, so it was quite tough.
That was organised again by one of the group leaders, and she put together this accessible walking challenge, it was called. The idea was to enable people who are in wheelchairs or have some sort of disability to take part in a sponsored walk, but it needed people to push the wheelchairs. It was called Miles Without Styles, so naively, I think we thought we were going to go along these nice, flat country paths in the beautiful Lake District, and it was all going to be very easy, and it wasn't. The weather was horrendous. The paths were very much up, down, up, down, which they naturally they are in the Lake District. Just everything was against us, but we had the best time. It was just amazing. We had such a good time, all as a group. I think we had 10 people that were either in a wheelchair, or there was a lady who was 89 with only one leg, and she'd lost the other leg in an air raid in the Second World War and lost her rest of her family. I mean, it was just the saddest story, but refuses too much help of any kind. It was amazing. And we laughed, and we raised £25,000.
A lot of these holidays, presumably, you've talked about certain things like skiing holidays, so you'll have a prime time in the skiing season and then in the summer. Does that leave you with any period of time where you could perhaps take a rest and get the bus back to?
But actually, that is really key, important time for them to service the vehicles. So they have to go in to be serviced, and all the equipment has to be serviced, the lift, the hoist. Those downtimes are actually quite important in order to keep the vehicles in top shape.
So our downtime, I guess you could say, was over the winter time, apart from the skiing holidays, because most of the trips are in the summertime.
The only trips that are run throughout the year is the Disneyland Paris trips, because it's irrelevant what time of year you go, and it does tend to be cheaper in the wintertime. So we take a lot of kids' groups in there to Disneyland Paris.
Fundraising, you've obviously had a heck of a year this year to raise the amount of money to buy a new vehicle. That gives you two buses, I believe, that's right? Two Jumbo Lenses. If you had a third, could you cope? If you had a fourth, could you? Or is there sort of a limit?
I think the need is definitely there. The need has to come hand in hand with volunteers to run the holidays. That's the thing.
Every holiday you go on has to have a certain number of people. It depends upon the makeup of the group, but you have to have a certain number of volunteers. Some of them have to be medically trained. Well, you need doctors.
You don't have to be medically trained to be a volunteer. You just have to be generous in spirit and get able to get stuck in and help people push wheelchairs, maybe help them with personal hygiene, that sort of thing. But if there are people on board who have more complex medical conditions, certainly doctors and nurses, and we're very, very fortunate and appreciative that they do give us their leave time to come and support us on these sort of trips.
Yeah, despite all the pressures they're under in their own job.
And when you speak to them, they're so passionate and they believe in this so much that they're just so willing to give of their time. The trips are dependent 100% on them. Even with the Jumbulance, you can't have the trips.
And are you always looking for more volunteers?
We're always looking for more funding. Every charity will tell you that. But of equal importance, we need more volunteers. We go to universities because some of the students want to come and help. Particular people who maybe want to enter the medical profession or thinking about entering the medical profession. It's good for them to get some experience. It helps them in interviews. And I do believe that it can help towards the Duke of Edinburgh residential part of that. So if people are interested in that, it's a good experience.
Do you say you go to universities? Do you go to schools? You go to other areas where there are people?
This is something that we'd like to do more of. There's our student day fairs and things like that. So we go to them with banners and tell them about the trust. The group leaders, the people who organise the holidays, they've got a core set of volunteers, and many of them come back year after year after year. But there are people dipping in and out, as you can imagine, and it tends to be younger people. Again, they find it so rewarding. It's just very humbling.
So there's always sort of four sides to it in charity. There's the people that the service is being provided for. There's the volunteers who are critical in your case, obviously. There's the administration, which you're keeping to an absolute minimum. And the fourth one is money. We keep coming back to money every time. You've raised a lot of money. Do you get sponsorship?
We're really, really fortunate this year that we've agreed a 5-year sponsorship deal with the Premier League. And our brand new Jumbulance is not only branded with the Jumbulance logo, it's also branded with the Premier League logos. And the Premier League line is on our coach. And what the Premier League want to do is they want to increase access to disabled supporters to away matches. The football clubs themselves, they want to simplify travel arrangements for those away fans. They're also increasing community activities for the less able supporters. So we will make the Jumbulances available for them so they can take part in all sorts of disability sports. The aim of making people more active. So it's really in line with our core values of making equal opportunities for everyone. This is opportunities for all. It's a can-do attitude as opposed to a can't-do.
Yeah. Accessibility is the key, isn't it? And that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
And it sort of always takes us back to the vehicle, because I've looked at one of the vehicles and accessibility for a wheelchair is up a special ramp which it raises and like a lift.
And the kids love going on that, because it's really exciting for them. Their little faces when they're going up on this massive hoist lift thing. They just really love it. Really nice.
I mean, so many parts of society are still not adapted to everybody's needs, are they? It's an ongoing battle, isn't it? And you're helping people that are facing that battle every day.
I think the reason people are so passionate about this is that we're fulfilling a need that other people don't fill. There are wheelchair accessible coaches, but they're not Jumbulance coaches. They don't have the large lifts that we do to get people on and off easily. They don't instill the friendship, the laughter, the camaraderie on the coaches that we do on our trips, because they're so well organised and people who run them are so passionate about what they do.
Who's in charge on each trip? Is there one person?
It is slightly twofold, because half of the travel that we do is for groups that are put together by, as we spoke about, group leaders. So they are dotted all around the country and they put together their group of volunteers and their group of travellers. Then there's the other branch, which which is ones that are already made up. So care homes, like we don't put any volunteers on those trips at all. They're already self-made. And hospices, again, they're already self-made. So it's a sort of two-branch thing, really. There are the groups that are individually put together by a group leader, and they have to be very committed and enormously passionate, and it is hard work. And then there's the groups that are already together.
And the football clubs will fit within that second group.
They will.
Yeah, and it's something they really want to expand on.
Is that bringing you direct cash?
What will happen is that it will mean that the coaches, the jumbulances, are used more frequently. So that will, in itself, brings more revenue into the trust, and that's as far as that goes.
And then
really,
hopefully, we're able to subsidise travel more for more people.
So you've got this new coach, which presumably is even more modern than the last one was. Has it been used yet? Has it been road tested? Is it out there doing something?
Well, it's actually had its first trip Saturday, December the 4th. It was used by Man United. They took some of their disabled fans down to the Emirates. Unfortunately, Man United won, so they're very, very happy. It's had its first trip. The Jumbulance Trust itself, we will have a formal launch of the new Jumbulance at Hatfield House in January. We're having a blessing of the Jumbulance itself.
And is that going to be a big event where you try and get lots of the great and the good there to boost the image, or what are you going to do?
Well, we're having a blessing of the coach and then a nice reception lunch, and we're fortunate that the Mayor of Harpenden, the Mayor of Welland and Hatfield, and our local MP have all indicated that they will come, so we're very pleased at that. They agreed very readily to come as soon as we explained what it was about. Straight away they came back and said yes, they'd love to help, which is just fantastic for us. We're really pleased.
That's on January the
13th.
So the future, not necessarily more jumbulances, because you've got to have an organisation that can handle more than the two that you've got now. How are you reaching out all the time, endlessly, saying to people, look, we are here, this is a facility we offer? Do you think every potential group knows?
No.
How do you reach them?
That's a question that we ask ourselves all the time. It is really hard, because the only way of doing it is by advertising and is by what we're doing today. And those opportunities don't come up all the time. And advertising is expensive, but we do try to get the word out as much as we possibly can, wherever we possibly can. But we'd love everyone to know about jumbulances, wouldn't we?
I think what we're trying to do is increase the availability of what we got now, increase the standard of the trips. Obviously, the brand new jumbulance is much more comfortable than our previous ones. We've certainly got scope and capacity to increase, and that is our aim, because we want everybody who would need to be going on a jumbulance to be able to do so.
Thank you very much. I wish you well. I hope it goes tremendously this year.
Thank you.
If you'd like more information about the Jumbulance Trust, perhaps you're thinking about volunteering to help or to raise funds for them, or maybe you think you might know a group who could be interested in using one of the two jumbulances, the website to go to is, very simply, jumbulance.org.uk. If you want to speak to the office, call 01582 765 423 or email info@jumbulance.org.uk.